Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EXO podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lucy Leibowitz, and I use she, her pronouns.
Hello, I'm Kaylin Pack. I am one of the other hosts. I also use she, her pronouns.
And we are here with a very special guest.
Hey, guys. My name is Sophia Barnett, and I use she, her pronouns.
All right. So we're going to start off this episode with one of our 36 questions that lead to love. And today's question is, would you like to be famous and in what way? So, who wants to go first?
I think our guest should start.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to be famous, personally. I think I should be famous. I think that I should be the elected president of the United States of America. So, like, the fame from that.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, so, I feel like that's a mixed bag, though.
No, but, like, I don't know. I think that I would be so, so good. Just, like, in terms of, like, being a representative, I feel like I would represent so many different people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that would make me famous. Like, by, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're president. Yeah,
like, by the president of the United States. Yeah.
I guess it's, like, a big role.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, a different type of fame than, like, fame from, like, just wanting to be a celebrity. That's, like,
I mean, like, I would want that, too. I would want to be famous as a celebrity, too, right? Like, I feel like red carpets would be cute.
Yeah.
But, like, did you guys see that thing where they were talking about lesbian fashion becoming a trend for straight women?
Oh, I saw that.
I would not know what to wear to any of these events without making waves in pools that are just overly complicated. So I feel like that's just, like, a setback for me, but...
But
more than being president.
Yeah. But you're gay, so you're allowed to wear that fashion, aren't you?
I mean, fine.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Go lesbians.
Go lesbians. No, so true.
I personally would not want to be famous, or at least, like, I would not want people to be able to recognize me on the street, because I feel like, I don't know, like, imagine you're just, like, catching up with, like, an old friend, and then suddenly, like, in, like, a restaurant, and then you, like, look to the other table, and there's someone, like, taking pictures of you, and, like, pointing their phone at you. I feel like I wouldn't like that at all. And also, like, so many people knowing so much about my personal life, it's just, like, when I meet you, I want to be able to share my life with you, not for them to, like, know me before I meet them, you know?
Yeah,
that feels really responsible.
That's a very fair point. I, on the other hand, I literally, like, love oversharing. I have a Snapchat story that I literally just put every single aspect of my life onto. And I don't know, I watch a lot of BoJack Horseman, so I know the sad side.
The epic
of
highs and lows.
The epic highs and lows of high school football. I know them. I know it all. And, like, I also think I wouldn't like that feeling of, like, never having privacy. Sometimes it's a lot.
I think I'd love it.
But
you're, like, never alone. It's so cute.
Yeah, but it's with people.
It's adorable.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, a weird feeling to have so many people, like, know you, but, like, not really, like, know you.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, also, so existential. Like, I would love to just, like, be famous for, like, being silly. Like, that's so, like, yes, pay me for just, like, making you laugh. That's so slay.
Yeah.
That would be so great. Like, just, there goes all my loan debt. Just, like, because I made a joke.
Yeah, you're right. There are certain, like, career paths where you kind of have to be famous in order to be successful. Like, to be, like, a singer or entertainer.
I know, it's so sad. And it's so, I mean, like, being here, it's really eye-opening because it's like, oh, yeah, you can only get that internship if you know someone. So, like, you're here, so you kind of got to work it. But then, like, you don't want to work it like that because it feels fucked up. But that's literally the way that, like, fame is in this country. It's just, like, super incestuous. Speaking of making connections in college, that is our topic for today. It is reinventing yourself in college and all of the weird quirks that come along with that, especially through the lens of, like, COVID and coming into college during such a weird, tumultuous time in the world. So first we want to talk about coming back into in-person social life, like, after a year of quarantine and then, like, another year of weirdness, just 2 years post-pandemic, especially for mine and Kaylin's grade, since we were, like, the sophomore year that had, like, virtual first semester of college.
Hmm.
And Sophia's year was also pretty weird because, you know, it was just kind of like weird, masked up, maybe in-person high school. And then all of a sudden you're with thousands of strangers on a college campus for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a shell shock in every way.
Super awesome.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And also if you, because when you come to college, most people like know, like nobody. I was lucky to have a few people from my grade and from my school who I knew and who I was pretty good friends with, but like I can't really imagine how it must have been for people who knew like no one. Did you come from like a big school? Like did anyone come from your school?
I mean, like my school was a pretty big school. I had like I don't know what a big school looks like, I guess, but for me I had like 500 kids in my class. Is that pretty large, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I had 500 kids in my class, but nobody from my grade went to Brown. I don't even know if anybody from my grade applied to Brown besides me, obviously. But yeah, I knew, like, virtually nobody. But, like, I was very active in, like, those pre-college group chats and, like, Snapchat, adding people, following people. It was very weird because, like, when I first got to campus, I would see people and they'd be like, oh, my God, like, you're Sophia Barnett. I follow you on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, like, user, like, 1234. Like, it's so nice to, like, meet you. But I, like, obviously I didn't know these people. I'm just, like, looking at them and I'm like, do I know your profile? Do I know who you are? So it's, like, very weird. But it was, like, a super, super strange transition. I was super lucky to have, like, met a person who was in my general area who was also going to Brown, so we hung out a few times before we got to Brown. Yeah, and it was really, really great. That made me feel a little more comfortable because I sort of had, like, a safety person on campus, which was very helpful. But other than that, it was actually fucking terrifying.
Mm.
Completely, like, unfiltered. It was really, really awful and scary, but I feel like it eventually, like, worked out just because everybody was terrified.
Yeah. I think that was kind of the mindset that I had going into college. It's just that, like, you shouldn't be intimidated by anyone because everyone's also just trying to make friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but for sure.
For us, during that first week, it was, like, everything was virtual. There were no in-person things. So all those speed friending events and all those orientation events were virtual, and so that was just like really bizarre.
But awkward. I feel like that would be so awkward.
Me and Kaylin actually matched on speed friending during our like orientation speed friending moment. Mm-hmm. That was our first interaction with each other.
A lot of it
we did match on
Tinder. Yeah, we matched on Tinder. It's like the same thing.
I actually just saw Kaylin on Tinder, and me and Liana have matched on Tinder, so I guess we're an incestuous little podcast. And that's okay.
It's like tight knit though.
It's tight knit. It's cute. Yeah.
All our connections.
It was
building your network.
This is building your network.
It's so real. Dating apps in college are literally building your network.
Yeah.
Like I actually feel like I treat it like LinkedIn. Like my bio is like journalist. Like
Brown for Tinder.
Oh my god, yes. Oh my god, yes. I'm like so close to adding like tiny URLs in my posts so people can like read my shit.
Your card.
Like I don't even care. I will connect you. I should make my bio like journey to 500 block.
It was a little awkward. I think the thing that was really awkward about like making friends is first we kind of like talked about like how you do have to like reduce yourself to like something that's like palatable. Like I am Lucy, I like to paint, I am probably gonna be a health and human bio major, that's me, who are you? I like Orange is the New Black, I am gay, that's me. And like every interaction you had, especially romantic interactions, had to be super duper intentional, especially like our first semester.
Yeah.
There were like no parties at all, so if you wanted to like hook up with someone, like it had to be like you reaching out to them and being like, hey, wanna hang out and watch a movie? Like it had to be like so out there. There were like no opportunities to like really do that. And then also since we didn't start till January, there were a lot of people, like we all like made friends before coming there, like to some degree, just because there's so, or maybe not everyone, but like
I think that it range sometimes, because I personally did not, like there were some people who made friends through the big group me. I personally was not active on that at all. I just assumed that when I got to campus, when I get to campus the people will literally be there and I can just make friends there. But because everything was virtual, everything was very isolated, the only people you really had access to were the people in your dorm. And then you had to be very, very intentional, as Lucy said, with making any connections outside of that. Yeah, like for me, it was like every one of those speed friending things, I had to be like, reach out to them and be like, hey, this is Kaylin. Hey, here's my number. Do you want to hang out? Let's like, you know, if you want to hang out, just text me. And like having to set up like every single interaction. Like if you wanted to interact with somebody that day, you had to go out and ask for it and like have them correspond with you.
That feels like a job interview.
No, it does. Like, it feels like
feels
meetings.
So professional and like corporate.
Yeah. And so there was no like you meet like a friend of a friend, you know, because it was all just like one-on-one, at least for me, for my first semester, but yours was.
It wasn't like you could just like see someone at the Ratty and be like, oh
yeah, oh my god,
yes, oh my god, let me sit with you, let's catch up. Like, it was like, do you want to go eat outside
in the fucking cold,
in the cold, 6 feet apart from each other? For me, I did make a lot of my friends virtually, like before coming here, which I was very fortunate to do, and a lot of them, like, I think all of us have changed a lot since coming here. It's been like a whirlwind of 2 years, but I think a lot of us have grown with each other, and like some of my friends like not so much, and we did like grow apart as we learned more in college. And like Liana, for example, I didn't even know her before coming here, and like she was like one of the friends I got to make like being here. But like, yeah, no, I chose my person that I was going to live next to, and now we're still roommates and still friends. And then like the other two people we chose to live with, I'm still friends with, but I don't live with them anymore. And you know, it's just like things changed and moved around and whatnot. And yeah, it is a little crazy. It's weird to me because sometimes I think about high school, unfortunately, especially because I was just home for spring break and everything. And something I've been thinking about a lot is, like, I was never a kind of person who, like, I didn't particularly, like, enjoy high school. Like, I was just, like, a different person 2 years ago. Like, I was in the closet. I was, like, dating a man. I was, like, I don't know. I thought I wanted to, like, maybe go to med school. I didn't know how to play guitar. Like, I was just a different girly all the way around.
Do you think that, I don't know, did you guys make an active effort to change, like the rebrand to coming into college?
Not so much, I feel like. I think I had this like idea where I was like, I'm gonna be less intense and I'm gonna take care of myself. And I think that was like sort of a rebrand, unfortunately, because like I neglected that in high school.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I think that it sort of just kind of happened. And I didn't change in the way that I wanted to. Like, I think like the whole like, oh, I'm going to be less intense, like, that hasn't really worked in a lot of ways. And I'm not necessarily mad about that, because also I feel like if I sort of, like, lose that, then I'll lose drive, and then I'll lose everything. But I don't know, like, the self-care thing also has been a little bit of a struggle, but I think, like, I was a very social person in high school, but almost coming here has made me feel, like, less outgoing, and I guess just, like, less, like, energized with the idea of mingling with people. It feels very exhausting, I think, to be interacting with these people all the time. And like your pool, like you were saying, the cast, like the pool of the characters expanded for me. Like, I'm from Frisco, Texas, and now we're in like Providence, Rhode Island, with like a bunch of students. We have undergrads, we have grad students, we have med students, we have teachers, TAs, people. And then if you're doing organizational work, like, I'm like, damn, I'm talking to like, what, like 200 people a day? Like,
yeah,
what? Like, actually, what?
Yeah. I totally understand that, too, because in first semester and second semester, I was just, like, really, I really wanted to meet a lot more people. I was always reaching out to people. I always had the energy to do that and would be very meticulous about it. But, yeah, no, sometimes with this semester and a bit of last semester, yeah, suddenly you just meet so many more people. You're interacting with a lot more people all the time. You see a lot more people all the time, even if you're not necessarily interacting with them. Like, at the Ratty, you see, like, hundreds of kids all the time, which I didn't really realize factored into that sort of social gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I feel like, also for me, there's been, like, this sort of weird draw in, I think, for the fact that it is first semester and there's so many more things to explore. So, like, I think I took on a very heavy load in terms of organizational involvement and, like, extracurricular involvement that I might have not done if I was more well-adjusted, I think. But it was just, like, so many new things are being presented to me, and who am I to, like, not go for them, you know? Like, if it's there, I mean, I might as well. And that's just sort of always been the way that I process things. So I think I kind of was overly excited about the idea of getting involved in literally everything I was interested in.
Yeah.
And then I'm, like, interacting with 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Because high school, it's like, oh, high school newspaper. I'm going to, what, like, oh, you can't use the right your? Like, let me go ahead and edit that. Like, that's my extent of involvement. But now it's like, oh, okay, like, you want me to come in and talk to you and then talk to you and then talk to you. And then we're going to read this with this person and this person. And I'm like, guys, I would love to go to bed. It is 12:30. Like, let's cut the shit.
Yeah.
With love. With peace and love.
It's actually really weird, like, the overstimulatingness of college. Because, like, I mean, I think I've definitely always have had anxiety. And I just, like, didn't really have a word for it. Like, I didn't really know what it was. Like, my family, we didn't, like, grow up, like, really going to therapy and, like, doing stuff like that. And then, obviously, I think for a lot of people during COVID, during, like, initial quarantine and, like, with just the state of the world, like, it got worse. But, like, coming here was, like, the first time I've ever, like, gotten, like, the social anxiety and, like, the feeling, like, overstimulated. Like, when I step into, like, a crowded dining hall, sometimes I'm like, I can't breathe. This is too fucking much right now. Like, I am going to throw up. And it's just so weird because, like, I mean, I think I'm still, like, definitely got that extroversion. She's still going on. She's still all there. And I'm still outgoing. But, like, my like, high school self was in many ways, like, fearless because I was in such a, was such a, like, big fish, small pond, and now I'm just, like, a big fish in the ocean, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And I think being in a place like this does a lot, like, to your notion of, like, self. Like, who am I? And how do I, like, make a wave in this world and, like, achieve the things that I want to achieve when I'm surrounded by so many, like, intelligent and, like, wonderful people? And, like, what is, like, my thing that, like, helps me differentiate myself from, like, other people? And, like, what is it that I even like? Like, what do I like doing? What makes me happy? And, like, when we were here, our first year, pretty much, like, me and Kaylin, there weren't really many extracurriculars. Like, I had my moment like you, my, like, the same time you had it, like, my first semester of sophomore year, where I just joined way too many things. And then, like, one of the only clubs I was involved with freshman year, I realized I didn't even really like it. And, like, I ghosted them. Oops, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Shout out to that club. But
no, yeah, no, there were literally no clubs active at all. At least from what I could see, except for maybe the Herald. I'm not even sure about that. But honestly, that entire period of inactivity for at least clubs where you couldn't really do anything, I feel like that might have been good for me, maybe, in terms of, like, slowing down. Because now I don't spend, like, all my free time like I did in high school with clubs. I spend it with people or I spend it napping. Like, that's another thing.
Yeah,
I got, sure. I think I, well, it's like, I think I got better at like listening to myself in terms of self-care. I feel like what I'm eating is probably, like, a lot worse because it's no longer just what my parents put on the table. But in terms of sleep, like, now I know that if I'm starting to get sleepy, I just sleep, you know? I don't, like, try to, like, force myself to stay awake anymore.
That's very, very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm also lucky that I'm not taking just, like, the hell load of courses that a lot of STEM kids are doing where they have to actually force themselves to stay awake. But I think that was also a bit of point of self-care in that I chose, I don't know if I call it self-care, but I chose classes.
I think self-care.
I guess so. It's like I chose, well, it's more like, I guess I chose classes where I got the sense that the professor would care about me too.
Yeah. That's really,
that's
really
important.
Yeah,
that's really an important thing to do. And it's like, it's nice that you, like, pay attention to that for yourself.
For sure.
Yeah. And got lucky that I wasn't necessarily in a field where I had all these requisites that I had to do and choose early. But yeah.
But, you were talking about, like, what was something you, like, went into college, like, with yourself wanting to change, and, like, so I was very much in the closet in high school, like, very, very, very much. I think COVID helped a little, because I know that, like, quarantine-era TikTok did wonders. Quarantine-era TikTok turned everyone gay, for real, just kidding. So, like, coming to college was the first time in my life that I was actually, like, out, and, like,
the first time in my life that I was, like, started dressing the way I wanted, wearing, like, silly jewelry and makeup when I wanted, and, like, it was really great, but for a while, it was really hard for me to come home, because it kind of felt like I was, like, living two different lives. Like, I was just, like, Jekyll and Hyde, split person, and, like, every time I came home, I felt, like, so discontent, because it was so weird that I could, like, fit right back into, like, what I was doing before, and, like, everything felt so normal, but I felt, like, such a different person fundamentally, like, the same person, like, deep down, but, like, everything, like, on my outer layers and, like, my view of myself had just been, like, so changed, because, you know, when you're not, like, being your authentic self, like, even if you feel, like, kind of happy, you're not, like, content with, like, how you are. Like, it's suffocating, even if you don't even, like, realize that it's suffocating. But
yeah, I can relate with the way that I've dressed, the way that I present myself also is different than in high school. In terms of how I went into college thinking about what I would change about how I was in high school, I think that just the way that I presented myself. I wanted to dress the way that I wanted to dress, not just the way that, like, wear the clothes that my parents gave me and the one, coming into college was, because I tutored over that quarantine period, so I had finally had disposable income, and so I started to be able to, create my own closet and, like, figure out my taste, and I feel like I'm definitely still going through that bit of a journey trying to figure out my taste, but so in college I wanted to do that, and also wanted to be more outgoing and go outside of my social circle more, because in high school I feel like I just stayed in my own social circle, like, saw classmates and stuff but didn't really reach out. So that was another thing I wanted to do in college. But Sophia, how do you think?
Kind of came to Brown overcompensating a little, or already thinking that I sort of had to pull out an identity to kind of project to other people, just because I was absolutely just disgustingly afraid of how intelligent and accomplished everybody was. So I think I kind of, like, took the best parts of me, or at least, like, what other people sort of perceived, I guess, as the best parts of me from high school, and was just like, this is my personality now. Like, hi, like, nice to meet you. Like, I'm Sophia, and this is exactly who you guys are going to think me as. And then obviously that didn't work, because, people actually have personalities that are fabricated based off of their accomplishments. But I think, like, I genuinely was so afraid to, like, be myself, because it was just like, I am first gen low income. I am from Texas. I am now interacting with people who are majority from New York or California or the Northeast, and people who are predominantly wealthy. And I'm like, we have nothing in common, do we? Like, what are we gonna, like, we're not gonna joke about going on a yacht, because, like, babe, I can't even spell that. Like, I don't know what you want. Like, I don't know. It was very strange, but I think, like, sort of what I was talking about at the beginning, where I was like, oh, I totally overexerted myself and took on too much. I think that kind of did benefit me in a weird way, because then I was meeting a bunch of different people who had a common interest of mine. So I'm like, okay, so we can talk about how we don't like to write about XYZ topic, or how we do like to write about this, or how we're interested in this sort of political advocacy and things like that. So I think that was really beneficial in a way. But even then, when you were talking about those things as your interest, it sort of feels a little shallow. So even then, it was a bit of a struggle. But I don't know. It was very different, because I just didn't know how to present myself. And I don't want to use the word culture shock in, like, the largest extent that it is, but, like, coming from, like, a suburb in the South to, like, an urban area in the Northeast.
It is a culture shock.
Yeah, I think it is a culture shock.
It totally was. Because in the South, like, people are, like, fake nice to you. They're all like, bless your heart, and like opening doors for you and like waving at you as you cross the street. And now, like, people are like, move, bitch. And I'm like, damn, I'm like, I'm in the line for Blue State. Like, why are we arguing over chai? Like, it's just, I don't know. Definitely a big change, but I think that I've gotten adjusted to it. Like, obviously I know you guys, and I feel like I have good friends, thankfully. And it took a while to kind of get there, but I think I've sort of been able to let my actual identity come through, which has been amazing. Yeah. Because now I feel like I'm also kind of coming into my own identity and I'm pursuing these things that I want to do. And I'm also like doing things on the side outside of Brown, which has been really helpful for me. And so I think that it actually all has finally started to come together, which is actually amazing. And it feels long overdue, honestly.
Mm. But I think the fact that you're able to have this just by your second semester is a really good thing.
Hopefully that's an okay sign of progress being made.
No, yeah, because I feel like expecting to have your entire intimate social circle for college all figured out by your first semester is really unrealistic. Yeah. Or really, yeah, and I remember some people in like first semester and second semester being like, yeah, I found friends that. Like, I feel like everybody finds the friends that they're going to hang out for the rest of college in their first year. And I was like, I think that is untrue. I think that is very untrue. But I think a lot of it comes down to luck of who you're able to meet, who you happen to meet in your...
Yeah.
And at whatever time you meet them. But
like, I think it's really nice also, because, like, there are, like, different friend groups. I feel like I've always been sort of, like, a floater, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, I've, like, been in, like, quote, friend groups. But I don't, like, really love the idea of that because then it feels like it gets clicky and exclusive and just, like, super weird and kind of, like, almost isolating you from other people. So I've been, like... I guess, I don't know how this has happened. I just, like, my whole life, I've sort of been, like, a bouncer from person to person, group to group. But I think that's been really helpful because it's, like... I don't feel like if so-and-so and I, like, cut contact on accident or, like, things get too hard, it's midterm season, people can't, oh my god, we lost our Snapchat trig, like, whatever. That's not the end of the world. And, I mean, people obviously are gonna, like, ebb and flow, I guess. That's just how college life, I don't know, all of this works. But I think that that's sort of been a comfort to me is, like, knowing that I know enough people that, like, I feel like I'll always be comfortable in that regards to, like, knowing that I have someone to go sit by in the ratty or, like, somebody to go talk to. And that's been very helpful for me. Because, like, in high school, that was something that I feel like was very beneficial. And so, like, being able to sort of find that at Brown, like, even amongst, like, people of different, like, grades, like, that has been amazing. I very much grateful for that because it would be super weird, I feel like, and kind of just, like, making everything else, like, feel like it's higher stakes, higher pressure. Your friendships are super, super intimate and insane. And I'm just, like, I love that we're close friends. But also, I love that if our friend group for some reason dissolves over some stupid Tinder drama, like, we have other people. We are all going to be okay. And it's fine. Because college friendships feel super scary and really weird. And again, corporate. Everything feels corporate.
But. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of can segue into our next question, which is how has the way that you love changed in college, both for romantic relationships and, like, not even just for both, but for, like, any sort of love, like romantic relationships, friendships, even family, and self-love, things like that. Lucy, how do you think?
I think that one of the biggest things I've learned, like, throughout my time in college and throughout just, like, the past 2 years in general is that, like, this sounds, like, basic, rudimentary, like, not really something that you, like, need to learn, but it is something that takes a lot of time to internalize is that, like, everybody has different standards of what relationships are. Like, everyone has different standards of, like, what this friendship is to them and what friendship should be, what a romantic relationship should be. And so, like, if, like, I am someone who loves I am someone who loves with my whole heart, who cares, like, a lot. You know, I got a lot of water in my chart or whatever. But, so I get hurt easily because I give so much of myself. I've gotten hurt a lot in my life in terms of feeling like my friends don't care because they aren't giving the same things that I give. But you can't get upset at that. Obviously, don't gaslight yourself. You have times when you can get upset by that. But you can't always get upset by that because for some people, like, this is what friendship is for them. Like, this is their love language. This is how they give love. They, like, and you can't always expect people to, like, be there for you, like, on the level that you maybe are for them or, like, in the same way that you are for them. That's just, like, how certain friendships are. And I think as soon as you, or not even friendships, like, relationships. And I think as soon as you make peace with that, that is, like, one of the best things that you can, like, ever internalize because it really does help with, like, thinking through your feelings and making sure you're not, like, not making sure you're not over upset, but just, like, realizing that, like, it's not just you. And, you know, that is a hard thing to do. It sounds like very simple. Obviously, you're not the only person in the world, but you can be a super empathetic person and still have a hard time stepping out of yourself sometimes. Yeah. I think that's, like, what maturing is like, finding that ability to, like, step out of yourself and, like, take a step back and look at situations with all of that.
Yeah, I think I can definitely relate with, like, the way that if you feel... If you spend a lot of time thinking about how you can be a loving person to your friends, sometimes, like, a lot of other people don't really think about that as much. But, and I think, yeah, you do, if it does get, like, kind of bad, if you do feel neglected, I think that you should tell the person, of course, and communicate that. But, yeah, no, meeting people at their love language is something big. I think for me, the way that I changed from high school to college is that in high school, I only really spent time with my friends in school. Like, I didn't really see them outside of school, like, at all. But now, we're just constantly on the same campus, so I'm spending a lot more time with a lot more people. And yeah, I think that in terms of love languages, I've been meeting a lot of people at their love languages. Like, I have a friend who, like, their love language is, to me, like, obviously time. Like, we spend, like, a lot of time together. We usually see each other, like, almost every day, every other day, which I wasn't really used to in high school. And so changing that to college, I think, has probably, like, enriched the way that I love, especially my friends, a lot more. And also for, like, I have another friend who I could tell that, personally, I'm not somebody who's a very, like, words of affirmation person, but I could tell from the way that this friend always, like, complimented me, complimented other people. I think that the way that people love is the way that they want to be loved. And so when I see friends and have relationships with them, I try to figure out, like, okay, what's the way that they're trying to show love? And with this friend, it was definitely, like, words of affirmation. So even though it's kind of uncomfortable for me to, like, especially, like, receiving compliments, like, giving them, like, you can definitely do. And, accommodate them for that. Yeah.
Being receptive to, like, other people and, like, just paying attention to the things that, like, maybe make them uncomfortable or, like, make them happier and, like, just especially, like, my bestest friends. Like I think I'm a lot, and I've been going to therapy for the last year, so, like, I don't know if it's just college or also, like learning things from, like, being in therapy, but I feel like I am a much better support for my friends now that I can, like, recognize how they love. Yeah. And I can recognize what they need out of our friendship and what they need out of our relationship and, like, how I can best help them through things and how I can best give them love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all kind of relatable as well. I think, like, the big thing for me has been sort of, like, realizing, I guess, that every person and every relationship that I have in my life serves a purpose, or each person is, like, there for, like, a different reason. And I don't say that because I'm, like, a particularly, like, I'm not a spiritual person. I'm, like, very much, like, logic, science-based. But I don't know, like, for example, like, just, like, I feel like I've had a lot of time to reflect, and, like, I had a friend in high school, and I thought we were gonna be best friends forever, and our friendship just kind of, like, fell out, and I realized that, like, her role in my life was to, like, be a support for me when I got out of, like, a really, like, tumultuous time in my life, and, like, dated someone in high school who I was under the, like, young teenage lesbian over U-Haul version of myself, where I was like, oh, we're so totally gonna be together forever and, like, get married. And obviously, like, that person was not meant to fulfill that role in my life. And I learned the most about myself in a relationship that I ever have with that person. And though, like, we're not together or whatever, it was, like, something that I had a great opportunity to grow from. And, like, I feel like I've seen that at Brown here as well. Just, like, friends that I've already, like, sort of felt myself distanced from. And it's been, like, even if it's, like, on my terms, and I'm like, okay, I'm learning that this person showed me that this is something that I shouldn't take part in. This is something that's bad for me. This isn't good for my health. Whatever we would do to hang out, like, that wouldn't be something that's good for me. And just, like, learning that I don't respond well to XYZ, whatever it might be. And then, like, meeting people and being like, oh, I think that, like, your purpose in my life, like, you are teaching me so much about myself and, like, what I like to feel, what I like to be told, and, like, things like that, whether it's, like, romantic or, like, friendships. And I think that, like, sort of being able to gauge what each person in my life has been able to, like, teach me has been, like, a really, really big way that I've changed, whether it's, like, reflecting on my past relationships or just kind of, like, using that as a gauge for my current and future relationships. And I think that that's something that I never really processed Until getting to Brown, I think it's because there are just so many new relationships here being thrown at you left and right. So you have a lot of space for that. And I think that that's honestly been the most valuable thing that I've kind of gotten. It's because I've recognized, like, even if it's like an awful relationship that ended in like the most absurd, chaotic way possible, it's like, okay, so this happened and what did I get from it? I grew from this. I learned that this was something that I never want to be a part of again. I learned a new boundary for myself. Like, sort of thinking about things from that perspective has been really helpful for me. And I think that that's changed the way that I perceive my relationships and the way that they develop and the way that they end and anything in between. I think that that's been, like, honestly really enlightening, not to sound super cheesy or whatever, but...
It's not cheesy.
Yeah, I think it's been really helpful. And, like, I don't know, like, I've talked about this as well, like, in therapy, but not to, like, overly intellectualize my feelings. I just think that it's helpful to kind of, like, compartmentalize things and kind of, like, say how I feel about them, what I've gotten from them, because I think that it makes me less pessimistic. And I think it helps me kind of like love harder, but also in a less messy way, which I think has been very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So with that, love harder, but smarter. Love clean. Love clean AF.
Sounds like
messes. No messes.
Sounds like an advertisement.
Just kidding. Love is messy. Relationships are messy. And finding yourself is messy AF, and that is okay if you can tell how we feel about it from us three crazy kooky college gals. We just want to give a special shout out to our behind the scenes galley, Liana Haggis. Ooh, a big thank you to our special guest, Miss Sophia Barnett, and keep your eye out for the release of the XO first print edition on Friday, April 15th. It is going to be
tax return day.
I don't know.
Your taxes.
Happy tax return day. It's also Good Friday and Passover. First night of Passover, cool. I'm pretty sure. Huge, I'm Jewish, day. I should know. Nice. Tax day's actually day. The 18th.
No, my bad. But still do your taxes, guys.
Keep your eye out for the XO Prince Edition, and thank you so much for listening. This has been XO.
XO.